You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you in our Coach's Corner program each and every Saturday throughout the football season, brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Hy-Vee, Iowa Barbecue Company, Ameriprise Financial, True Health Chiropractic, and Wilchin Brothers Construction. We got a great show planned for you today. Coming up on the program will be Lamar's head coach Ken Vigdahl. His team is a district winner last night, 33-20 over the Spencer Tigers for homecoming. We'll chat with him all about that game. Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler will join us. The Jays had a rough go at the number 6 ranked team in the state. Woodbury Central beat the Jays 43-3. Chat with him all about that game. And then Kingsley Pearson head coach Travis Newman will join us. Gosh, we got to talk about the Panthers' run as of late. They scored 69 points 2 weeks ago, 69 points last week, followed that up with 79 last night in a win over Newell Fonda, 79-26. So we'll chat all about that contest with Travis Newman as well. The other scores from yesterday around Plymouth County look like this. Remsen St. Mary's picked up their first win of the year with a 43-18 win over Harris Lake Park after having to forfeit last week and miss out on a week. That rest did the Hawks well. In Class A District 1, third-ranked MMCRU improved to 5-0, defeating Sibley Ocheden 28-0. Akron Westfield had a rough go of it at IKM Manning, a 35-8 win for the Wolves. It is the first loss of the year for Akron Westfield in district play. And also last night, Hinton fell on the road at the defending 2A champion West Lyon Wildcats, a 48-7 win for West Lyon over Hinton last night. Those scores, along with all the other scores around Northwest Iowa and around Plymouth County's districts, you can find those on our website at KLEM1410.com. Well, let's turn our attention now to our coaches. Again, we have Lamar's Community Head Coach Ken Vigdahl, Galen Catholic Head Coach Jeremy Schindler, and Kingsley Pearson Head Coach Travis Newman joining us on the Coach's Corner. We'll get things started with Coach Vigdahl when we come back in just 1 minute right here on KLEM Radio.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and it's now time to start recapping week 5 of the high school football season. District action right here in Lamar's as the Bulldogs defeated Spencer for homecoming 33-20. We're chatting with Lamar's head coach Ken Vigdahl as his team starts district playoff 1-0 with that win last night. And Coach, first of all, just talk about the atmosphere, homecoming, you know, all those kind of things going into it. District opener, it's such a big rivalry, Lamar's and Spencer. What was the energy like at Jim Lorenzen Field last night, and how did you guys kind of respond to maybe a hyped-up atmosphere?
Well, it's just a busy week overall, you know what I mean? We have coronation on Monday. We have all kinds of different things throughout the week. And, you know, the parade is one of the greatest parades that mm-hmm. I've been a part of and all the other places I've been. And so, you know, you just have all of those things. But still, at the end of the day, you still have to play the game on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And so, you know, our kids, I thought, did a really great job of focusing, you know, what they needed to focus on, and that was obviously the game. And so it was busy, but it's like one of those things, you know, it's exciting. And like I told them in pregame, we've waited 365 days for this day. You know what I mean? Yep. Last year we played them for homecoming, and they kind of had our number. And I said, we've worked hard for a whole year to come down to this day. And so, you know, it was close. We kind of opened up with a 13-point lead, and then they closed it. But the good news is I thought they really responded in the second half.
Yeah, it appeared, just watching it from afar, that it was kind of a tale of two, I guess, ends of the game. The start and the finish were great. The middle, not so much. Let's talk about the start. What went right early on? How were you guys able to kind of get the ball rolling right out of the get-go?
Well, we had some big plays, big pass plays. You know, Jamie broke contain and, you know, it kind of broke down. So then he finds Tyson in the end zone. Andrew Grant has a big run and a catch and all of those things. And so we're up 13, you know, to nothing. And you never feel good, but you're like, okay, you know that they're going to use 6 to 7 minutes if they score, because they're going to go 4 yards at a time, 4 yards at a time. So you're thinking, okay, calculate a little bit. Okay, so we're okay, but we got to add on one or two more. And then before you know it, we kick off, and just like every Spencer game, we somehow give up kickoff return for a touchdown. And so then it's 7-6, and then they go on, or it's 6-6, and then they go on their drive. We stall out. They go on their drive with probably 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. Maybe it's not quite that long. And they drive all the way down, and they score, you know, with about 2 seconds left. And so that tied it up 13-13 and a half. And then I really thought the second half our kids really came to play. We opened up and went down and scored. Even though they scored, we were able to get our defense did a great job of getting a couple turnovers, and then we put some points on the board and scored 33 points.
Yeah, I can think of four things that are a guarantee when you guys play Spencer. Obviously, death, taxes, and then them running the football exceptionally well, and them having a 90-yard play of some kind, like you talked about, whether it's a kick return. I think they had a fumble return against you for that many yards a year or so ago. I mean, you know, when it comes to the running aspect, it's so tough because, you know, you've seen them now for the last few years, what they're going to do. They've done it who knows how many years, and it's still so tough to stop. But how did you guys ultimately, as you get to the second half, adjust to be able to kind of slow that down a little bit more?
Well, I think one thing they did a little bit different that we hadn't really seen a bunch of was they really went to a little bit of an unbalanced set, and so they'd like to run to the long side. Well, of course they would, because they've got you outnumbered, and we didn't quite catch and shift fast enough. But once we kind of shifted there in the second half, and Coach drew it up at halftime and said, okay, we got to slide, I thought our kids did a much better job, obviously, because we're not completely outflanked on that side. And so I thought they really did a good job with that. I thought their turnovers, I mean, they gave us great field position a couple of times. Our punt team put the ball down on the 1 yard line. Mm. And so just a lot of combinations of things that went right that maybe didn't go right the first half.
Ken Vigdahl's with us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, recapping last night's thrilling homecoming win, a district win, 33-20 over the Spencer Tigers. You know, mentioning the big plays, mentioning their running ability. Was there something else that kind of just, you know, in that middle portion of the game, the late in the second quarter, maybe the kind of the early bit of the third quarter, that you just were like, man, we're not really doing this very well at this point?
Well, we knew we were gonna. It was tough sledding up front, running in the middle. They have big physical kids, and so really in the second half, we kind of went to our sweep game, which we really haven't used a bunch this year. But we sat down in a half with our offensive line and said, okay, what do we got going on? And they're like, well, they're all even up on us. And I said, okay, so can we reach them at the point of attack? And they go, yeah, because they're so even on us. So then really that opening drive in the second half, we did nothing but mask our sweep. And so sometimes Andrew would move across the formation to block for Joaquin, and sometimes we gave him the ball, which really kind of gave them trouble. And then in the fourth quarter, when we were able to score those couple times, we appeared that we were going to run sweep, but at the end we really ran ISO with Joaquin inside the defensive end, and now we're not trying to reach him, and so they widened to take the sweep away, so then we were able to run it up inside the defensive end and score. So, you know, it was just one of those things that our inside zone RPO game wasn't really working. Our counter game, they were really collapsing the counter, and we were able to bounce it and get some good yards in the first half, but really what really took over the game for us was really our sweep game, and you know, we were able to get into trips a couple times and then throw some 95s or some empty, and we threw some slant patterns. I think Tyson went, you know, 40, 50 yards on one in the third quarter. So we just really kind of stayed away from the middle. And then, believe it or not, at the end when we had to score, Jamie pulled it on our inside zone key read and was able to get into the end zone.
Yeah, and I was able to catch that play there kind of late in the game. And, yeah, that was the one that kind of put the final nail in the coffin. Coach, the theme that I've enjoyed in following along with you guys here the last month or so now in the season is that it seems like you do have your kind of stable guys, the guys you like to go to a lot of the time. But by and large, there are multiple different guys that you've been able to rely on in the passing game. There's multiple different guys you've been able to rely on in the running game as well. You know, how much freedom does that give you and your staff as play callers, knowing that, you know, most of the time it doesn't really matter who we get the ball to. They're going to make a play.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we kind of chart what's going on, and we chart how many carries every position gets and how many catches every position gets a little bit. You know, and we can't tell Jamie, hey, you're just going to throw it to this guy, obviously. That doesn't make sense. But, you know, we kind of make sure that the people who need to be carrying the ball, the people who are catching passes or running routes or whatever, are getting the touches. And so when you look at us, you're going to say, who are you going to take away? Are you going to take away Tyson? Well, yeah, but then we have Tegan on the other side. Are you going to take away Joaquin? Okay, then we have Andrew. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are you going to take both of those? Then Jamie can run the ball and get down the field. And so we have a lot of variety of players, and we've actually have quite a few offensive yards, but we don't have one guy that has, you know, 1,500 yards carrying the rock 35 times a game. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. That's just not us.
No, and it doesn't need to be you. You guys have been very successful with your own style, thankfully. Again, Ken Vigdahl is the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, and we're talking with him after a 33-20 win over the Spencer Tigers last night for homecoming, the district opener, all kinds of good stuff with that ball game. Coach, I'll ask you kind of this way. Was it nice to see you guys be able to start one way, struggle in the middle quarters? Obviously, you don't want to struggle in the middle quarters, but if you do, then come back there, you know, that first drive in the third quarter, score a touchdown, and then finish well in the fourth quarter, be able to bounce back when things weren't going well there in the middle of the game?
Yeah, it really was. You know, I think, you know, you look at us throughout our five games now, and we've done some good things. We've struggled at some things, and now we're getting to the point where even if things don't go well, we can fight through those times. You know, we had a couple of back-to-back losses there. We had to fight through those. We played MLC, who had a big win last night against Algona. You know, all of a sudden, here we are. We do something really, really well, and then we come out tonight, and we're ahead, and then we get they tie it up, and we're kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? And you got two choices to make, like we talk about all the time. Are we going to get better and do the things that we need to do to win the game, or are we going to let the game go away from us? And so I thought the second half was a tall tale of our sign of just how our team is. And, you know, they talk about how you are outside of football, you're in how you are inside of football. And I thought our kids really responded well to all of those things. And, you know, it's one of those things that Spencer is Spencer. I don't know if it's a rivalry or not, but boy, we sure act like it is. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that, you know, they definitely want to win and we definitely want to win. And it's a one score game usually, and it's tight and it's a hard fought ball game. And so it was just really good to see that our kids, when it got 13-13, didn't say, okay, well, you know, here we go again or whatever. But they were like, okay, we're going to go down and score. And that's exactly what we did in the second half. Defense had a couple of good turnovers, like I said. And, you know, you win the turnover battle, the chances of winning the game are great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all those good things happened to us in the second half because we didn't get an attitude of, oh, yeah, well, here we go, or I made a mistake or whatever. And we, you know, clear it, get ready for the next play.
you and I are certainly on the same page, because I was just going to ask you about the turnover margin in there, because we don't normally talk about the passing game when we talk about Spencer, but the few times they did drop back to throw, I think I'm looking at their stats now, they threw the ball 9 times total. Only 4 of them were completed, and 2 of those 9 passes were intercepted by you when they did drop back to pass. How did you make sure that your defense was ready for it when you hammered at them all week, hey, they're going to run the ball 90% of the time?
Well, I think when you get behind her, you know, once we – because we traded touchdowns, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think it's 20-20 at one point, and it's like we went 3 and out, and we're like, oh, we didn't keep pace with – you know, because you never know what's going to happen. You have to keep pace in a game like this because they could take the drive for another one. But once we went ahead and then we kind of went and got another score, then it was kind of like what we did last week. They started to do something that they don't really want to do, and they didn't really want to pass the ball. Even late in the game, they kept running it a few times, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's one of those things that when you run that type of offense, and you get behind by 2 touchdowns with 4 minutes to go, you know, now you're doing something that you really don't want to do. You want to keep running the ball, but because you're getting 4 or 5 yards at 4 or 5 yards a chunk, it's going to take you a while to score.
Right. Another thing I wanted to ask you about too, just from the few things that I saw of the game, you guys were able to run the football obviously very effectively. You were able to give Jamie time to throw, and just looking over Spencer's defensive numbers, they really were not able to get pressure or get into the backfield a ton. At least it didn't turn into sacks, I should say. What do you put that on? What kind of went right from an offensive line standpoint, I guess, because those guys don't always get the recognition they deserve. But boy, when they create time for Jamie and create holes for your running backs, they certainly deserve some.
Yeah, they really did, and I think the best thing we did was our pass protection, which we talked about it all week. And there's lots of times I'll say to them, "How do you want to do it?" You know what I mean? Because those are the guys who are playing. They're the guys who need to do it. Now, if they come up with something, you know, crazy, I'll probably say that's not what we want to do. But it's like, okay, but, you know, you got 3 seniors up there or you got 2 seniors on a side, and they're like, oh, this is the way we want to do it. And so what they would do is they would blitz off the edge, even in their forefront. So you got 4-on-5 with a blitzer. We go slide protection. And so what we did was we ended up sliding either right or to the left, depending on where the blitz came from. And then I thought Joaquin did an excellent job of stepping up into the backside A gap to take a middle blitzer if one came. And so I thought those guys really did a good job on that. And then, you know, like I said, our sweep wasn't our number one play going into the game, mm-hmm. but they adjusted to it. And once we started calling it and being able to reach everybody at the point of attack, I mean, we were 3-4 yards before anybody would get touched. And so that's kind of a big deal, because just like we wanted to keep them off schedule with their offense, you know, we were on schedule. So that was a big deal. And so they really did a nice job of really the sweep game, because Spencer did, you know, when you run that forefront, they put 7 guys in the box or 6 guys in the box, and that gets pretty hard to block with 5 guys.
Yeah, certainly, and you guys appeared to have done that very well. And as you talk about letting the guys kind of take the reins, the other part about that offensive line for you, Coach, is I know a couple of guys have had some little injuries here and there. Thankfully, so far, I guess, fingers crossed, nothing has been too serious with some of the guys up front on your line. But that being said, some guys have had to miss some time here and there. Talk about, too, how you guys are able to keep a next man up kind of mentality at such a crucial position that, you know, you need to have everybody on the same page and ready to go.
Well, lots of times, you know, we have individual time and segment time and stuff like that. And we spend a lot of time on blocking schemes, because we really spent time over the summer and in fall camp about, you know, technique work and all this that they have to do. And so now they have the technique work. Now we spend a lot of time on blocking schemes and blitz schemes and things like that. So then when we get to team, you know, we're prepared for team when we go TMO. And then, like, lots of times on Wednesdays, we'll put a defense out there. And then really we have a black offense and a red offense. and they're just flip-flopping every other play. So one goes and then the next goes, one goes and the next go, and we're just calling the same play different, you know, sideline or different ways. You know, mm-hmm. one's going to the right, one's going to the left. And so we end up having tons of reps during the day. And you know, like everybody always, you know, say if things aren't going well, put in another play, run more plays. But you know what you're talking about? Even if you only have three or four schemes, you have nine different defenses. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. Not everybody runs the same defense. So really the impressive part about tonight was we've seen a three front for the last 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you know, they play a four front, and that's some different blocking schemes. You know, even though we're running ISO and we're running mm-hmm. zone, that it's a different alignment that they have to pick up on and double and climb and all those things that the O-line has to do.
Oh, and thankfully they did that well, and it leads you to a 33-20 win against Spencer. And all right, now you're 1-0 in the district, and you get a Thursday night matchup. It's one of these weeks again where you take on Sioux City West at Elwood Olsen Stadium. I know this has kind of become a trend for you guys where you get at least one Thursday night game every year, it feels like. But it still requires a bit of a change of routine. It requires a bit of a change of how you guys have to do things. What are some of the things you make sure to hammer into your guys into a week like this so that it can feel, I guess, as normal as possible when you take the field on Thursday night, and that you're prepared to go for whatever West might throw at you?
We really kind of keep the same schedule of some sort, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Monday's still going to be a little bit lighter, but we go a little longer. We probably run a few more plays against a live defense and a live offense. Tuesday is our regular Tuesday practice, and then you have to combine Thursday and Wednesday's practice, you know, on Wednesday night. So you're combining those 2 days. So we'll probably still go in shells, but once again, we'll probably run more live against the live defense and offense than we normally would. We usually don't have a ton of contact on Thursday, but with the game being on Thursday this week, you still have to have a day and I don't want to say 2 days of contact, but a day and a half. You still have to understand what they want to do. They still have to move. You know, blocking cones are fine on Monday, but once you get into Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, you got to have live people moving and where they're going to be and things like that. So we've kind of grown accustomed, like you said. This isn't our first one, you know, that we've ever encountered. We have one or two every year. And so we, you know, I think our kids at some point in time kind of like it. So then yeah. on Friday night, guess what? Hey, let's go home or go to a game or do something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it gives you a great opportunity to kind of have a bit of an off night, I guess, on Friday night. But an opportunity, again, to win a good football game. And, we'll have some Thursday night football this week with you guys when you take on West. So looking forward to that game, Coach. We'll, I'm sure, be in touch here throughout the week. And best of luck as you get ready for that matchup.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. He's Ken Vigdahl, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We will take a break, and Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler joins us coming up next here on KLEM.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the Week 5 edition of the KLEM Coaches Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteeg with you, and it's now time to chat with Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler. The Jays took a tough loss on the road in Mobile last night by a score of 43-3. The Wildcats undefeated, ranked number 6. We talked about that throughout much of the game. Coach, just just overall, I guess, we'll kind of start at a 500-foot view. What are some of your reactions after kind of digesting what happened to you guys last night?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the film and it's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. There were some bright spots. I'll point out the bright spots first. I thought our defensive line played extremely hard all night. You know, I thought for the most part we did a pretty good job of stopping their run. There were a couple runs that kind of got loose, but I thought our defensive line played extremely hard. Dane Lehman, we moved him to end. Mm-hmm. He created havoc. He just wreaked havoc all night in the run game and even, you know, forced a couple hurried throws. I thought Drake Hodgson got really good pressure up the middle. Mason Small was disruptive with his long arms. Alexander Munoz played in at the tackle. And, you know, we kind of wondered if he could hold up against the run. I thought he did a really good job demanding double teams and things like that. Easton Spangler came in and provided us a little bit of a pass rush. So those guys, all five of those guys who played there, I thought those guys played extremely hard. And that was probably one of the things I was most proud of, even when things weren't going well in we were getting beat on some route combinations. I thought those guys, every single snap, they were doing their job and trying to get after the quarterback or shut down the run game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and certainly is something that you can be excited about because, yeah, I think they had that 21-yard touchdown run that they had kind of late in the game. But outside of that, if they were picking up more than 5 yards a carry, I mean, that was kind of a good run for them. So, we talked about it going into the game, how good of an offense they are. You at least were able to make them really earn a good chunk of their yardage in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, the bad part is unfortunately, in the first half, we just gave them so many short fields because of our lack of execution on offense. And not being able to grind out first downs and things like that and move the ball at all, and then the turnovers and stuff. So, you know, defensively, I thought those guys did a pretty good job up front. Our linebackers actually in the run game played pretty well too. You know, we definitely have to clean some things up in the secondary, and that's just, you know, we got to continue to rep it. And, you got to continue to work it and continue to get better at it.
Yep. You know, talk early in the game. I know you mentioned the short fields, and one of those was due to a kick return. Another was due to a penalty that kind of hurt you on one of your kick returns. But by and large, you know, early in the second quarter, you guys had a successful drive, and it was 12-3 midway through the second quarter, roughly speaking. What did you like kind of about what happened early for you guys in the ballgame?
Yeah, I think that was maybe our third. I want to say that was our third drive, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. First two drives, we didn't do anything on offense. Put our defense in a bad hole. Didn't move the ball at all. And so, you know, that was actually a little bit of a package that we wanted to get to earlier. But with the poor field position, I just didn't. So once you get down two scores, it's like, all right, well, I guess we got to get to this empty package sometime. And you know, we were able to pick up a couple nice runs, and Jack Roberts made a good play in the run game and kind of got us out of a deep hole. We were backed up inside, like, I think our 15. Mm-hmm. And he makes a good play, and actually, you know, I think he's going to see it on film this morning. I think he might have been able to take it to the house. you know, we need to execute our blocks downfield with our wide receivers a little bit better, and if he doesn't run into the back of one of our wide receivers, he might have been gone. So. Yeah. Again, that's maybe a little bit of a missed opportunity, but at least it got us out of a hole. We were able to get into field goal range, and, you know, that's Tyler Van Borst came in and, you know, executed, did a great job. The snap was good by Easton Spangler. The hold was great by Wyatt Kuntz, and, Kyler put it through the uprights. I just kind of thought at that point in time, you know, it was 12-0. I know it didn't get it to is still a two-score game, but I thought getting points on the board, getting something out of that drive was really important. And even if it, you know, even if it's just a rep for Kyler to get a live in-game rep, because the kid's got a really live leg,
yeah.
And we think we can use him as a weapon as the season goes on.
Yeah, he really stood out to me in your Hartley Melvin Sanborn win the few times he kicked, and yeah, that was a really nice process on the field goal. Again, Jeremy Schindler's with us, the head coach of Galen Catholic football. Quickly recapping last night's 43-3 loss to Woodbury Central. Unfortunately, then after you guys had the field goal, that was when things really started going haywire. 31 unanswered points the Wildcats scored. What in your mind was kind of the driving force behind the decline and kind of the collapse as the game went along?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the offense. I call the offense play, so I'm always going to be harder on that side of the ball. We just didn't execute. And the thing about it is we all took turns messing up. I thought our offensive line, especially early on in that second half, we found a little something on the ground game. But we got down into the red zone and we get bogged down again. You know, we have a negative play or something. You know, we just have to stay on schedule. We got to be able to find a way to gain 2, 3, 4 yards on first down, win first down, get to second and manageable, and then be able to have a 3rd and 2 or 3 where it's not 3rd and 8 and everybody knows you got to pass, because that's obviously not one of our strengths. But then on the flip side, we got to find a way to make more explosive plays. I thought Wyatt had a couple pretty good runs in there, and I thought Wyatt Kuntz ran the ball pretty well all night. That was one of our bright spots on offense. But in terms of the passing game, we have to find a way to make big plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of it is our receivers have to go get the ball in the air. So we got to find guys who want to go get the ball in the air and compete for it. You know, this is high school football. It ain't going to be a perfect throw every time. But when the ball's in the air, you got to go get it. And that's the same thing we preach to them on defense. And, that, you know, that's just something we have to work on as a group is when the ball is in the air, go to the ball. So we're gonna start looking for guys who wanna compete for the ball when it's in the air.
And I certainly don't want to put any blame anywhere, but 4 interceptions in the game was certainly a key contributor in killing the momentum and any positivity that you guys had going as well. In your mind, what were some of the things that just didn't go right on those plays that turned them into big momentum shifters the wrong way?
Yeah, Jack gets all the blame for those because they go down as a stat for him. I think there's, a couple of them are squarely on Jack's shoulders, and he's going to learn from that and hopefully get better. One of them was a screen pass, and he just kind of put it up there, and he's got to make sure that he gives his running back a chance, and you just if it isn't there, just throw it at his feet. So that's a learning lesson for him. Again, we haven't really gotten into the screen game that much. Another one was a miscommunication on a play call where we lined up in the correct formation and then the wrong play got called. So that's something we have to clean up. But then there's other plays where the ball was hanging up in the air and it maybe wasn't a perfect pass. But we didn't try and go get the ball. We didn't, even if it was a bad pass as a receiver, that's when you got to turn into a defensive back and at least make sure they don't catch it. So, again, all things we can learn from, all things we can clean up. And you got to put, I'll take the blame for it. I have not demanded perfection out of that group as an offense yet. And that's something that over these next 3 weeks, we're gonna work to become perfectionists at our craft, whether it's blocking, whether it's throwing the football, whether it's executing a fake or a bootleg or running a route or going and getting the ball. We are going to get better on offense over these next 3 weeks.
And I certainly wanted to touch back on that topic again, but I also wanted to hit another positive that at least stuck out to me at times throughout the game. There were a number of sets of downs that Woodbury Central would get into offensively where, like you talked about earlier, you'd get good pursuit in the running game and make a stop on first down, maybe a yard, whatever, force an incomplete pass or a loss or something on second down. And you demanded a lot of times that Woodbury Central go into third and eight, third and nine, third and ten, these very long money down plays. The unfortunate part was they converted a lot of them, but that being said, what was it about how you guys were doing defensively that you guys were able to put them in those spots where they had to go make a great play to keep their drive alive?
Yeah, I think the credit there has to go to our front six or seven guys, you know, those down defensive linemen, and then kind of our two inside backers, and that was mainly, for most of the night, it was kind of a mixture of Kane Kearns, Nathan Kolbeck, and Easton Spangler. Easton Spangler played both on the defensive line and then at linebacker at some times. So those six guys with our regular starting four down linemen, those were the guys who really stopped the run. And again, there was a couple plays later on in the game when, you know, the game was out of reach and maybe we were a little tired and, you know, we missed a tackle here or there, that they were able to gain some more yards on. But overall, I thought actually our run defense was a positive. And yeah, that put them into third and longs, especially early in the game.
Yep.
We have to be able to get off the field there. Right. We got to be able to make a play in the secondary, knock the ball down, you know, find a way to get off the field and force a punt.
And as you say, those are all certainly learning lessons and certainly something you'll have to learn here for the next 3 weeks. Again, Jeremy Schindler's with us, head coach of Galen Catholic Football. As we look ahead to those 3 weeks, they are some massive games. You still play MMCRU coming up next Friday. We'll have that game here on KLEM. South O'Brien on the road, West Sioux at home. These are monster games, and just mathematically speaking, you're going to have to win at least one of them to make the playoffs. Two would be wonderful. Obviously, all three would be fantastic, but they are tough games, tough opponents. And as you said, it's going to take near perfection offensively and defensively to try and make that happen. What do the next couple of weeks of practice and preparing for these games, what are they going to have to look like for you guys to achieve what you want to achieve here in the final few weeks of the season?
Yeah, I'm going to speak from the offensive side of things. I'm just going to demand more from these guys. You know, we can't have the silly little mistakes in practices because those obviously are leading to games. We have to be locked in and focused, whether it's an individual drill when we're working certain skills or whether it's a full team period where we're working our you know, entire playbook and things like that. So I'm just going to demand a little bit more perfection. I think that's going to be crucial and key to our success. Defensively, I think Coach Ellenzone would say the same thing. We just have to demand more out of them in practice. And not that's not saying that they're not working hard. Our guys work really hard in practice. We just have to eliminate the mistakes. And we have to understand that those mistakes are what's costing us games, whether it's one mistake here, one mistake there. Those are turning into big plays for other teams. Or those are putting us in a hole on offense to where we can't get out of. So, again, just things to work on and grow. And I think that's the biggest and that's the only way forward.
Yep, and it gets started right away with MMCRU Friday night. We're going to be at that game and looking forward to seeing if you guys can bounce back with it. Coach, we'll let you go. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you this week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. He is Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic Football. We'll take a break and come back with more of the Coach's Corner program. Travis Newman of Kingsley Pearson joins us next here on KLEM Radio.
Shop and save at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee Food Store. They're open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for your convenience. You can start your day with a hot breakfast and fresh donuts in their dining room. Then enjoy a shopping experience that will meet all your needs for the days or weeks to come. Explore the meat market, the floral department, or the pharmacy. For whatever you need, discover red-hot deals at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee Food Store. And also check out additional daily specials on Facebook.
Hy-Vee,
Are you craving mouthwatering barbecue? Head on over to Iowa Barbecue Company on Plymouth Street in Lamar's. They've got tender ribs, juicy chicken, succulent pork, and sausage smoked to perfection and served hot every Tuesday through Saturday. At Iowa Barbecue Company, you will get the freshest locally sourced meats and great sides such as house-made mac and cheese or coleslaw each and every day. The smoke is rolling every day to ensure you are getting some of the area's best quality and freshest Q around. Get to Iowa Barbecue Company today.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner program right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and we continue to recap week five of the high school football season by chatting with the head coach at Kingsley Pearson High School. That's Coach Travis Newman. And boy, his team is on a tear lately. Last night, defeating Newell Fonda by a score of 79-26. It's the third consecutive week in which they've scored 69 or more points. Coach, I want to obviously talk about all the ways in which you guys were able to score the football, but let's kind of go back a little bit. You had week two taken away from you with Siouxland Christian forfeiting their season. Almost had last week taken away from you with Rams and St. Mary's forfeiting their season. Luckily, you were able to still play Collins Maxwell. How have you guys, how have you and the coaching staff kept the players grounded and kind of, you know, still focused on the task at hand when, you know, at some point, sometimes you haven't known whether you're going to play a game, let alone who you're going to play?
Yeah, definitely not a ideal beginning of the season, obviously, losing game week two, coming off of a tough matchup against number one team in state. You obviously want to get back out there and play. So losing that game definitely was hard. And then, yeah, last week, I mean, it was a grind for us trying to figure out what we were going to do. We really wanted to play. We didn't want to have another week off. That just kind of doesn't let you get into a rhythm. And so, yeah, we had the opportunity to get out and play last week. And honestly, the biggest thing that we have going for us right now is that we are willing and able to just adjust on the fly. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of guys that we've told them, just stick to our process. The process is what the process is. We have a standard that we want to set forth and continue to strive for. And so if we want to be successful, we have to continue to keep that standard high. And I think our guys have really bought in and really understood that, hey, we can't control everything, but we can control what's in front of us. And that includes how we go about our day by day.
Well, and I certainly didn't think after the last 2 weeks in which you guys nearly put up 70 points that your standard and your bar could get higher, but obviously it can with last night's 79-26 win. And gosh, Coach, it started right off the jump. You scored 30 points in the first quarter. What was clicking for you guys so early in the game?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of skill guys. We got a lot of athletes that we can get the ball in the hands of. And honestly, we produced a couple big returns. We produced just some pressure situations that we put the defense in last week for their situation. I mean, we have a lot of guys out there. Landon Howe is a great quarterback for us. He's really good at when he gets out in open space, he's going to be a tough guy to bring down. Easton Nissen's a really tough guy to bring down in open space. Tyler Cook, Wyatt Clayson, I can go on. I mean, yeah. Our guys are just living up to the standard that we've set forth for them, and they're finding ways to contribute, and everybody's sticking to their game plan and sticking to their keys, and obviously we've seen it reaps its benefits.
Yeah, well, it's certainly been beneficial for you. Just from that standpoint, with the amount of guys, because, yeah, I feel like every time I look at your game week in and week out and what you guys did to be successful, it is a different guy making a play every single game within the game, sometimes week to week. You know, how do you make sure that, you know, all of them get the touches that they need to be impactful and have all of them involved in the offensive output?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, they all have bought into the team concept, right? Mm-hmm. When you got so many athletes, yeah, you want to get everybody the ball. And I think the good thing is that Landon at quarterback does a really good job of distributing the ball, really well. I mean, we got different matchups that we can exploit as we go through the games. I mean, there's situations where we might be like, hey, now's a good time. We're going to get it in the hands of Cook, or now's a good time. We're going to try to shoot for Easton, Clayton, things like that. So, I mean, it's really just comes down to kind of dealing with the flow of the game, seeing how teams want to react and want to play. I mean, they want to take away one thing, we're going to go to another thing. So I think having that flexibility and having the ability to adjust on the fly has really reaped its benefits for us.
Coach, last night, again, we're chatting with Travis Newman, the head coach of Kingsley Pearson football, following their 79-26 win at Newell Fonda. Last night, what was the biggest thing in, okay, not only taking the lead, but then also after scoring 30 points in the first quarter, 52 points in the first half, keeping the momentum going in that second quarter, in the second half, to make sure you guys kind of stayed with the course, I guess?
Yeah. Honestly, at the end of the day, I don't think our guys were satisfied. Honestly, we felt like we gave them some momentum. We had a potential touchdown called back, 61-yard touchdown, because we unfortunately had an undisciplined moment of that got us in an unsportsmanlike in the middle of the play, and then the next play we fumbled inside our own 10, which allowed them to go in and score when it would have went from a 24-0 game. Now it became a 16-6 game. So, honestly, that gave them some momentum. I think if we would have scored that touchdown, got up 24, I think that would put us in a really good spot to finish strong and made it a lot tougher on them. But we gave them some momentum back, and so at halftime, our guys weren't satisfied with the situation that we were in. And they went out with the plan of shutting them down in the second half, which they were able to execute, and we just continued to stick to our game plan, and we got an opportunity for some of our younger guys to get some good reps in, and that's always a benefit as well.
Well, and that's certainly a benefit, and I want to hit on that too. But once, you know, kind of once they had that momentum from, you know, flipping the score, as you described, basically a two-possession swing there, what did they do to make sure they hung on to that momentum? Because they did a decent job of you know, being able to kind of, you know, in a way, kind of hang with you guys offensively, and they put up 26 points in the first half as well. What were they doing that was a little bit tricky for you guys?
Yeah, I mean they're a good program overall. Their coach does a great job over there. He always gets the boys in a good position to be successful, and at the end of the day, I think we had a couple breakdowns in our defense, a couple of those possessions. I mean, we had them in tough situations, and we would just get out of our positioning. At the end of the day, we talked to the guys, and we said each individual guy has to stick to his key and trust that the guy next to him and the other guys on the team are really going to step up and stick to their keys. If everybody can do that as a unit, we're going to be pretty successful. And unfortunately, all it takes is one guy in that unit to potentially have a lapse or potentially miscommunicate, and next thing you know, a big play happens. And I think that they caught us on a couple times where we had just a breakdown mentally, and I think that was what helped, especially early on. But we were able to correct that at halftime, and our guys really did a good job of adjusting. I think that's the second game in a row where we've really limited an offense in the second half. So,
Coach, tell me about kind of the special team side of it too. I know there was one week in there where you guys had both a kick return and a punt return for a touchdown in the same game. You mentioned how you guys were able to have some short fields due to you know, some good returns and setting you guys up, your defense setting you up well as well. But what's been the difference maker on special teams that's allowed you to you know, rattle off some explosive plays on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I think we had a 55-yard kick return tonight that put us close. Didn't quite score there, and then I think we had a 45-yard punt return that we almost could have scored, and we had another punt return that got called back on a holding. But honestly, overall, our guys are just blocking. They're blocking well in front. Our guys are seeing the field good. Again, it's about getting the ball in your athletes' hands and letting them be athletes, and I think that's been a big plus for us, as we got a lot of athletes out there, and we got a lot of guys that are wanting to go make plays, and they're going out there and taking advantage of it. I think Easton Nissen has his third consecutive game now with a pick six for us. So, I mean, we just got guys out there being athletes.
Yeah, and I think one of those games too, you ended up having five different guys with an interception. I'm sure that was kind of a similar case this week as well. Just, you know, how does the the team aspect that we talked about from the offensive side of the ball, where everybody's getting involved offensively, then seem to translate defensively too, where you can't always pick and choose who ends up being the guy that's covering the guy that gets the ball and has to make a play on a pass, you know?
Yep. No, I mean, at the end of the day, it comes to sticking to our keys. Mm-hmm. Sticking to every guy is playing for each other. Every guy's out there taking care of what they are supposed to do, whether they're in a zone defense and they have a certain area to cover, whether in man coverage and they have a specific man to cover. I mean, it comes down to every player individually out there doing what their job is, which leads to a successful unit. And I think that's really started to show the last 3 weeks, is that when we stick to our keys, when we do the things right, we have a lot of success. When we have one guy that might get in a lapse or might get a little bit, say, hesitant on what he's supposed to do, that's where we sometimes can see some exposure. And I think as the season progresses, I think we'll just continue to hone in on that.
Coach, I do want to ask you, too, you alluded to it, that the fact that as you guys grew your lead a bit more in the second half, you were able to get more guys some playing experience and more guys some varsity reps. Just how beneficial is that for, the guys that put in the work in practice, that they have to learn everybody else's offense and defense so your varsity starters can run it so well. And then, you know, they finally get a chance to shine a little bit on Friday night under the lights.
Yeah, it's huge. I've told our guys every day since day one that we're only going to be as successful as the 30th person on our roster. Mm. However good that 30th person develops and the reps that he can give is going to be how successful we're going to be. And so from top to bottom, we aren't limiting ourselves to, say, our top eight guys and calling it good. We want everybody to be successful. We want everybody to get the opportunity to play. Like I tell our guys every week, I said, you should be playing to allow the opportunity for those young guys to play. If those young guys get an opportunity to play, that means you probably did something right. And our guys are just playing for each other. They're continuing to come together week by week. And the smile that you see on the younger kids' faces when they get the opportunity to go in there, and the energy that our upperclassmen have when they have the opportunity to cheer on those young guys, knowing the hard work that they've put in, and now they're reaping the benefits of the hard work they're putting in. It's definitely fulfilling to know that that's the situation that you put yourself in.
Again, Travis Newman, the head coach of Kingsley Pearson football, after that big 79-26 win over Newell Fonda. So you've now won three games in a row, I guess four technically with that forfeit in week two. But you guys get a chance to step out of district play for one final time against West Bend Mallard, and it's a home game, thank goodness, as well. You get to play in front of your home fans this Friday night. Coach, what are you looking for most here in practice to get the guys ready for that game, and then to finally give your home fans a little something to enjoy under the lights of your own facility?
Yeah, we're really excited to get back home and get in front of our home fans. Obviously, only having one home game so far this year isn't necessarily how you want the season to go. But, yeah, I'm excited to get back in front of our home fans, get the opportunity for more people to continue to see how hard these boys have worked and the dedication they have to success. Obviously, it's also homecoming week, so there's a lot of things that go on with that. So our biggest thing this week is going to be continue to keep the standard what the standard is. Keep your focus. Don't let the outside noise start impacting you. I think our guys have a mindset of where they want to end up and a mentality of where they want to be by the end of the season, and I think that's just going to continue it. It's definitely easy as a coach when you got a lot of upperclassmen and a lot of guys that are all driving towards the same goal and they want the same outcomes as you do, and they're going to work towards it. So,
well, it should be a great game, and like you said, homecoming, so a lot of good mojo heading your way. Looking forward to seeing how that turns out, and of course, how the rest of the season goes. Coach, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Congrats on the recent success, and we hope for more in the future. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Go Panthers.
Absolutely, go Panthers. They are the 4-1 Panthers, and that is head coach Travis Newman of Kingsley Pearson football. Take a break and wrap up the KLEM Coaches Corner in just a moment here on KLEM Radio.
Ameriprise Financial with Mike Ruland, Ross Ruland, and Sam Van Wettering are proud of our local athletes. Talk with Mike, Ross, or Sam about how you can set up and reach your financial goals today and tomorrow.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back in one final time to the KLEM Coach's Corner this Saturday morning here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Our Coach's Corner program all throughout the season is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Hy-Vee, Iowa Barbecue Company, Ameriprise Financial, True Health Chiropractic, and Wilton Brothers Construction. My thanks, as always, to our coaches for joining us. Again, they are Lamar's Community Head Coach Ken Vigdahl, Galen Catholic Head Coach Jeremy Schindler, and Kingsley Pearson Head Coach Travis Newman. We appreciate their time here this morning, giving you an insight into their football teams and how things went for them last night. As we look ahead to the next week of broadcasts here on KLEM, we have more volleyball for you coming up Tuesday night. MMCRU is at Galen Catholic for a Wargle Conference matchup. That's a 7 o'clock first serve, 6:45 pre. Then we have two football games for you here on KLEM. If you were paying attention during the interviews, we alluded to them already. But on Thursday night, Lamar's will take on Sioux City West. Some high school Thursday night football. Can't wait for that. We'll be on the air at 6:30 for that. Keep that in mind. There is no scouting report on Thursday night, so we'll be on the air about 6:30. 7 o'clock is kickoff. Then on Friday night, we'll be at Jim Lorenzen Field for a change. MMCRU at Galen Catholic should be a great district matchup. That broadcast will start at 15 with the Radio Iowa Scouting Report. Kickoff will follow at 7 o'clock. You should be able to catch a great high school football game. MMCRU and Galen Catholic Friday night. Lamar's at Sioux City West Thursday night. Two games on one station for high school football this week, only right here on KLEM Radio. Some other great games that will be taking place around Plymouth County this week. They are Akron Westfield is back at home. They welcome in a tough Woodbury Central squad for homecoming for Akron Westfield this week. Hinton is on the road at MVAOCOU in district action. Added with Travis Newman, Kingsley Pearson celebrates homecoming. They welcome in West Bend Mallard for a non-district contest. Of course, MMCRU is in action at Galen Catholic, and then Remsen St. Mary's has homecoming this week as well. They take on Newell Fonda in Remsen coming up on Friday night next week. So another jam-packed week of high school football. It'll be week 6 already of the high school football season. It's crazy to think how fast it is rolling along. And, of course, we'll keep you covered with all of the high school football action here on KLEM Radio, whether it's through our Coach's Corner, whether it's through our play-by-play, or whether it's through some recaps throughout the week coming up the next few days. So stay tuned to KLEM Radio to stay in the know when it comes to high school football in Plymouth County. Well, that'll do it for another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, thanks to our coaches for joining us. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteg. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your Saturday morning.